Dear IOSCO members, I hope that Luxembourg has been treating you very kindly, that everything has been going smoothly for you. A warm welcome from my side, and also a warm welcome to any other guest that has decided to join our session of today. Many of you have had very busy days, I've heard, many meetings, and now is the moment to sit down and relax and enjoy very interesting discussions with high-profile experts. And I trust the fact that you're going to use the opportunity to mingle, to exchange views and opinions during breaks and also the evening events, which are going to be great. Now, Luxembourg is not only an important player in the global financial system, Luxembourg has a lot of beautiful, wonderful things to offer. It's a very small country, but it is the headquarter for many giants, such as, for instance, ArcelorMittal, Amazon, Skype, RTL, just to mention a few giants. But Luxembourg has also many other things that we can brag about. For instance, this is the country in the world, nota bene, with the most Michelin-starred restaurants per capita and per square meter, nota bene also. And we have also the only female Bocuse d'Or winner coming from here, Leah Linster. You should try out her restaurant in Frisange if you get the chance. It's excellent. So you probably have already noticed that we have high-quality food in Luxembourg. And some say it is the reason why the fastest cyclists of the world are born here. It's got to be the food. And so as you can see, many, many beautiful things about Luxembourg. And also one fact is there's 170 different nationalities based here, living here. And that can only mean one thing. Everybody wants to live here. I know that my parents did when they came here in the 70s. They came from Iceland. My dad was, like many Icelanders back then, working as a pilot for Cargolux. And Cargolux is one detail we're very proud of as well here in Luxembourg, because it is one of the largest cargo airlines in the world. So I think we're ready to start our opening speeches of today's sessions. And the first man I would like to invite on the stage is a man who is a very, very important man in the recent history of Europe. He's played an important role, both politically and financially, in the history of Europe. He's been the prime minister of this beautiful country for 18 years. You know him because he's been also the president of the Eurogroup, a title which he held between 2005 until 2013. Please welcome with me very warmly Mr. Jean-Claude Juncker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a great pleasure indeed to welcome you to Luxembourg. In fact, we are delighted, we are honored that the Luxembourg Supervisory Authority of the Financial Sector, the CSSF, has been chosen to host your annual conference, the main event in this organization's calendar. We consider this also as the recognition of the contribution that Luxembourg has made over the last decades in the field of international cooperation and integration, not only in the field of finance, by the way. The slogan of this year's annual conference is Connecting Global Finance. This slogan fits well with the value proposition of the Luxembourg Financial Center, which is quite essentially European and global in its reach. Luxembourg is home to people from over 160 different nations. But Torun has told us just a few minutes ago that's 170. Yesterday night, when this was written, it was 160. The Luxembourg economy is one of the most open in the world. In trade, and in particular in finance, the local market represents only a small fraction of goods and services produced locally. The most of the world's premier actors in international finance, the value proposition of the Luxembourg Financial Center has not gone unnoticed, thereby promoting Luxembourg to become an important connector in global finance. However, as the recent history of finance has demonstrated, the increasing interconnectedness of the world economy creates new opportunities, but it also creates new challenges. This, in turn, confronts supervisory authorities with new challenges as they must keep pace with internationalization and become themselves more interconnected. In this process, IOSCO plays a very important role, and there is hardly a more appropriate place than Luxembourg for you to discuss on how to further enhance that role. People sometimes say that the greatest asset in finance is not money, but trust. In order to restore the trust of all investors, retail, professional, institutional, wholesale investors in financial markets, regulators should set the example of meeting more often, discussing issues more frequently, and regulators should get to knowing each other better. They should exchange views and learn from each other's experiences, good and bad. For a better mutual understanding between regulators, taking into account the respective historical and cultural background will certainly be beneficial for the investors, for the markets, and for the industry. In view of the fact that finance has become international, almost by essence, it is important that the regulators feel comfortable in their relationships with one another and that they can rely on each other. For regulators as well, mutual trust is the greatest asset. IOSCO has recognized the need for regulators to meet frequently, and the annual conference is probably the best opportunity to get a better insight into the approaches and working methods of the participating authorities. Of course, it goes almost without saying that the industry has to play its part and makes its contributions to restoring the trust of the investors. Today, IOSCO is recognized as the global standard setter for the security sector. IOSCO's members come from over 110 jurisdictions from all over the globe, and they regulate more than 95% of the world's securities markets. IOSCO is working intensively with G20 and the Financial Stability Board on the global regulatory reform agenda. It is in the interest of all the financial centers, but in particular in the interest of financial centers from smaller countries to have financial markets that operate in an efficient, transparent, well-regulated environment and that apply the same standards and are subject to equivalent rules. IOSCO is also playing a key role in the field of cooperation on information exchange and enforcement between regulators. Indeed, a prime quality solid cooperation framework between regulators is of paramount importance in a sector where activities are increasingly international. IOSCO embodies this cooperation between regulators. Such cooperation should be flawless. Last year, the IOSCO Multilateral Memorandum of Understanding has celebrated its 10th anniversary. The CSSF is a proud full signatory to the IOSCO MMOU since 2007. Luxembourg will continue to spare no efforts to play its role in this field. After the crisis, we are still navigating in not calm waters. In Luxembourg, in Europe, and in the world, we are striving to make sure that we have all learned the right lessons. As an EU member state, Luxembourg is contributing actively to the objective of a well-functioning, well-integrated international market, protecting the right of producers and consumers of goods and services, including financial services. With regard to the supervision of the financial sector, the Luxembourg authorities are members of the three European supervisory authorities, namely EBA, ESMA, and EIOPA, and the Luxembourg government fully supports the supervisory authorities' pursuit of integrity and the proper functioning and operation of transparent financial markets with solid infrastructures and the supervision of the entities active in the financial sector with the aim of protecting investors. Luxembourg also fully supports the political roadmap towards a deeper and more integrated European economic and monetary union in the context of our continent, including the creation of a banking union. We welcome the recent progress on the single supervisor mechanism under the auspices of the European Central Bank, as well as the Commission's proposal on a single resolution mechanism. At the same time, I would like to recall that the full banking union rests on three pillars and includes a single deposit insurance mechanism, and that after the significant progress on banking union, similar ambitious progress needs to be realized on fiscal, economic, and political union in order to put the EMU on a sound footing. Allow me to revert back to Luxembourg for a few moments. Despite its pivotal role in international finance, for many of you, this will be your first visit to our country. The conference therefore provides you with an excellent opportunity to get a first taste of Luxembourg, its long history, its beautiful landscapes, friendly people, and you will hopefully leave Luxembourg with positive memories and appetite for more. At the same time, it may be a welcome opportunity for you to possibly correct some misconceptions about Luxembourg, its economic model, and the competitive advantages on which the success of the financial sector is based. In fact, Luxembourg has earned a reputation for excellence in relation to cross-border banking and investment activities and as a gateway to the European internal market. In 1988, Luxembourg gained the first mover advantage in the context of the transposition of the UCITS legislation, and this has provided a significant impetus to the development of the mutual funds industry. These developments, combined with a robust institutional and political framework, are the source of economies of scope and scale and positive agglomeration effects, which are the basis of the competitive advantage of Luxembourg in the provision of financial services. Ladies and gentlemen, herewith I open this annual conference. I wish you success as well as fruitful and interesting discussions. Enjoy your time in Luxembourg and please come back. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Juncker. And now please welcome the host of this whole event, the Luxembourg Financial Supervisory Authority, CSSF, represented by its Director General, Mr. Jean-Kiel.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends and colleagues, when the idea was first floated to invite IOSCO to Luxembourg for its 2013 annual meeting, it was immediately taken up with unanimous approval and also support from all actors of our financial center, from the government to public and private stakeholders. Our candidacy was equally welcomed by IOSCO and by its membership, and thus last year in Beijing, I had the privilege to invite all of you to join us at the conference center in Luxembourg this year in September. You have, as I can see, followed our invitation in huge numbers, and in the name of your host, the CSSF, the regulatory authority for the financial sector in Luxembourg, it is my great pleasure to welcome you most warmly. To have such a prestigious meeting in our country is an honor, and I venture to say with the Prime Minister, a recognition that Luxembourg, as a widely connected center, second largest for investment funds worldwide, is systemically relevant for global financial markets. And also, I believe that the CSSF is of good standing among its peers. It was fun to prepare this annual meeting, but also a lot of hard and detailed work. First and foremost, for the CSSF's International Council, Jean-Marc Goy, who is a familiar figure at IOSCO conferences. Allow me here to very publicly thank him and also all those here in Luxembourg, but also at IOSCO, at IOSCO staff also, who made this meeting possible. And forgive me for not trying to name them all, but a special thank you goes to the three ladies of our coordinating team, Mrs. Irene Schulz-Gerstein, Mrs. Karen Tsang, and Mrs. Carol Hessler. Warm thanks also to our generous sponsors, who greatly contribute to the success of the public part of the annual meeting. IOSCO is a global organization, spanning the whole world, and nowhere has the world become more globalized than in the area of securities markets. Retail investors around the world buy investment products of equally diverse origin. They need fair, efficient, and transparent markets in a stable financial environment where systemic risks are under control. As the security sector takes over from the banking sector a larger share of savings and investments, especially for the longer term, regulators face new challenges. It is therefore of invaluable importance that a global standard setter exists, strong enough to make its voice heard in order to ensure that regulations at regional or national level remain consistent on a global scale. This is particularly relevant since growth and emerging markets need commonly agreed principles which they can follow and which gives them a level playing field with longer established markets. IOSCO has the capacity and the connections both to provide expert input into decision-making at the highest political level, whether it be at the G20, the IMF, or the Financial Stability Board, and also to push for implementation of those decisions by its members. We are committed to our long-standing membership in IOSCO, and we will continue to actively participate in the work of its committees. We support enhancing the membership and scope of its multilateral memorandum of understanding, which is the key document underpinning cooperation between regulators from all continents. IOSCO, a strong tradition of engagement with all its stakeholders, is ideally suited to lay greater stress on ethical values and on integrity in the conduct of financial affairs through the promotion of responsible investment, of codes of conduct, and of good practices in cooperation with self-regulatory organizations and with the private sector. If I may, let me mention from our own experience two initiatives, namely the work of the Institute for Global Financial Integrity in Luxembourg and also the International Capital Market Association's Wealth Management Charter of Quality. They are examples where the private sector has joined together voluntarily to commit to common standards of quality, compliance, and good market practice. Over the last few days, during the formal so-called private part of this annual meeting, we have brought IOSCO's work some more steps forward. This afternoon, we open the public part of the meeting. I believe that the topics which we have chosen for the four public panels and the outstanding quality of our panelists should allow our discussions to focus on the most relevant issues of the day, which are high on the agendas of regulators and professionals alike. Connecting global finance is the overall motto of this year's annual meeting. I do hope that not only our conference program, but also our social events on both evenings will contribute to strengthen those connections. As your host, I wish you a most successful, thought-provoking, and pleasurable stay in Luxembourg. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Thank you very much. The third speaker that I would like to invite on the stage is the chairman of the IOSCO board. He is from Australia and he's already on his way. A warm welcome to Greg Medgrift. Thank you.
Excellency, Prime Minister, and everybody else, welcome to this beautiful city and IOSCO's 38th annual conference. I'd like to again thank our hosts, Luxembourg, and particularly Jean Gill, our Prime Minister, and the team from the Luxembourg CSSF. I think, as I said this morning, proper planning prevents poor performance, and your performance has absolutely been superb and reflected in very good planning. So congratulations, it's fabulous. And I think, as the Prime Minister said, the wonderful hospitality, the fabulous organisation, but most importantly, the wonderful culinary that we've experienced in Luxembourg, certainly a discovery for me. So I'm sure that many of us will be back. I also want to thank the 24 sponsors for their contributions to making this event happen. And I think it's very important. I think the theme, connecting global finance, is very relevant to IOSCO. When you think about our vision at IOSCO, to be seen as the global reference point for securities regulation by our stakeholders in industry, policymakers, and securities regulators, you could have no better theme than connecting global finance. So I think it very is pertinent, the theme that has been set for this conference. I'd like to also acknowledge and thank again my predecessor, Masamichi Kono, for his important contribution to IOSCO, both as the board chair and his earlier roles as a vice chair and chair of the IOSCO Technical Committee. Masa guided the transition to the new IOSCO board, and he has at all times ensured that IOSCO's voice and position is well understood and heard in the many international forums in which he represented IOSCO. And he still continues to play a very important leading role at IOSCO. As I mentioned today, he will lead our push in terms of the work with the Financial Stability Board on identifying non-bank, non-insurance financial institutions. For this, we thank him and for his continuing involvement. Thank you again, Masa. Also, I'd actually like to recognise our Secretary General, David Wright, and to all of his staff to thank you for all the work you have done in preparing us and continue all the work that in terms of achieving what we want for IOSCO. And also to many of those, all those involved in the board and the committees, the task forces. You know, as I said this morning, we're a member-driven organisation. And basically what we do reflects the sum of what we are, being the sum of our membership involvement. So it's really your organisation, and you know, that participation is absolutely critical to any member-driven organisation. So, in taking part in today's ceremony, I'd like to make some comments as chairman of IOSCO about what I see as the global challenges that lay ahead in securities markets and my vision for the role of IOSCO will play in addressing them. I became chairman at a critical time in the financial services industry, I believe, for securities regulators and for IOSCO. I think we actually have a number of common challenges. But again, often challenges are also opportunities, and I see them more as opportunities than as challenges. First of all, I think market-based financing clearly is growing, is seen as a critical role to play in funding economic growth in the coming years. Secondly, globalisation is a fact of life. It's a challenge, and I think it's an opportunity. Thirdly, the increasing importance of growth in emerging economies is absolutely important in terms of the role they will play in facilitating future economic growth. And then finally, is financial innovation, always a good thing. But what we need to be careful of is when it drives complexity and perhaps adverse outcomes. So as I said, I think that these are four key challenges, but I think, again, I think there are opportunities. I think they're ones which I believe that we are grasping and we will continue to grasp over the coming years. So let me just give you some idea of what I see as IOSCO's role in dealing with these challenges and opportunities. As I said, my view is that as an organisation, we want to be seen, I believe we are seen by many of our stakeholders, as the key global reference point for securities regulation by our stakeholders, whether they be policymakers, industry, or our fellow members. I want us to be seen to be as an organisation, one that is proactive, forward-looking, and most importantly, that we're seen as being effective in what we do in terms of securities regulation. When we think about it, really we have really three common collective goals. One is to make sure that investors in financial markets are confident and informed, that markets are fair, orderly, and transparent, and finally, that we attempt or we try to reduce systemic risk. It's something we hold individually and collectively, and it is very much the objective of securities regulation, and in turn, collectively, what we're focused on achieving at IOSCO as a global reference point. I think this has already been seen in light of by the G20 and the FSB, particularly was emphasised this month in the communique issued by the G20 leaders in St. Petersburg. The communique acknowledged our good work in developing principles for the administration and organisation of financial benchmarks. In addition, the G20 and the Financial Stability Board acknowledged the work that we're undertaking in credit rating agencies, shadow banking, non-bank, non-insurance SIFIs, commodity derivatives, financial market infrastructure, and other work on financial benchmarks. During my term as IOSCO chair, I want to ensure that we build on this momentum. At our board meeting this week, we agreed to undertake a strategic review titled IOSCO 2020. This year-long project will define the outcomes that we want for IOSCO by 2020. A very important project and goes to the heart of what we're trying to achieve. Find the outcomes and then look at what we need in terms of resources and funding to achieve the outcomes we've set. I believe, as they say, if you don't know where you're going, any road can lead you there. And what we want is we have a clear view of where we are headed and how we are going to get there. And I see this review as embedding our role as a key global reference point in securities regulation. So, returning to the challenges I outlined earlier, I believe that the way that we will deal with these challenges is through our three key tools at IOSCO. That is, as mentioned before by Jean, our standard setting role, absolutely critical. What we do with engagement with our stakeholders, whether they be policymakers, our members, or industry, and most importantly, our cooperation, either amongst ourselves or with industry. So let me just talk a little bit about each of the key ways in which we look to achieve our ultimate objective. Standard setting, we should work to ensure that the regulatory guidance we develop is timely, very importantly, that it's relevant, that it's usable, and most importantly, that it's consistently implemented. And my objective is to make sure that we aim to be ahead of the curve particularly on areas where we consider there to be a real high risk, and to make sure that we develop guidance that is sufficiently granular to guide policymakers and regulators to facilitate a globally harmonised approach to securities regulation. And I think a very good example of that, again, was the work that we've recently completed on financial benchmarks, where in fact we have actually established a global standard which has been adopted by the FSB and noted by the G20 at its recent summit. To me, this is a very good example of being forward-looking and ahead of the game. Another area that is very important is in fact addressing the challenge of market-based financing is our work actually in our cross-border regulation. So, you know, if in fact we're going to facilitate the global flow of capital around the world, then we need to address in particular the challenge posed by inconsistent and uncoordinated approaches to regulation. And to that end, IOSCO is developing a toolkit of measures for members when regulating the activities of foreign firms in their jurisdictions. The work will consider measures such as substitutor compliance, mutual recognition, passporting, and expedited processing. This work, I hope, will lay the foundation for the development of guidance about the coordinated use of measures in the toolkit. And it should also contribute to reducing the adverse impact of regulatory differences on cross-border activity. By improving the interoperability of our markets, as I said, will improve the free flow of capital to the economies in the world that most efficiently can deal with it, and therefore help facilitate the funding of economic growth, which again I think is a very important objective of the basically our global leaders. Also in the area of market-based financing, there is much work going on in other parts of market-based financing to develop a toolbox of regulatory measures, for example, in retail structured products. Again, I think we need to remain vigilant to identify those areas that do need an approach to global standard setting, and one that very much we're cognizant of. The second key way, as I said, we attempt to achieve our objective of being seen as a global reference point is engagement. And clearly there are three key parts to our stakeholders. The first is our fellow regulators, and there in fact I identify three clear groups. There's our developing markets, growth and emerging markets. There's the developed markets, and a very key part of our group of members is our self-regulatory organisations. And what's important is to ensure that OSCO continues to be a premier forum for regulators to engage and to work together. We have a very proud record of building trust and understanding between regulators from different markets and from those that have different philosophies about regulation. But what's most important, as I said before, we actually have a common outcomes that we're trying to achieve in terms of financial regulation. There is far more that unites us than divides us. And I think that is a very common theme of IOSCO, that we have those common objectives in terms of ensuring that investors can be confident informed, markets have that integrity, and finally, we focus on reducing systemic risk. The second key stakeholder group is industry. Effective and meaningful communication with industry is fundamental to good policy development. Maintaining a close dialogue with industry helps us better understand emerging risks and the impact or the unintended consequence of steps we may take. We do this at all levels of IOSCO, that is, engaging with industry. We have regular stakeholder meetings and we invite industry leaders to participate, in particular, for example, roundtables on emerging risk at the IOSCO board. In fact, the work on cross-border issues was first raised at one of our roundtables. We've also had roundtables on the risks and opportunities posed by social media within the last few months. We've also had part of that, the role of behavioural science potentially shaping the future shape of securities regulation. And most importantly, this week, on Monday, we had a roundtable on cybercrime, which I actually believe is something that really we need to think much more about how it can potentially attack the world's financial system. Our third set of stakeholders are policymakers, and clearly engaging with them is essential to initiating and to influencing regulatory reform across jurisdictions. We're doing this at a global level, as was mentioned before, through the FSB and the G20, also at the regional level and the national level. And it's absolutely critical that we engage effectively to tell policymakers at all level what we're doing and to listen to their concerns. And the final area is cooperation. Cooperation will play and continues to play a key role in helping us meet the challenges I outlined earlier. And one consistent theme, as I said, is globalisation. Making sure that we have rules that are consistent, and it's all about ensuring that they're applied consistently by supervisors and regulators around the world. IOSCO has a very proud record of promoting cooperation between regulators in supervising and enforcing our laws. And the multilateral memorandum of understanding on cooperation and information sharing really forms the cornerstone of what we do with enforcement amongst the now 97 signatories on the Appendix A. And it is an important basis for cooperation, as I said, that transverses many multiple jurisdictions and again goes to the heart of what we're trying to achieve at IOSCO. Clearly, I think there are opportunities to extend the MMOU to actually broaden potentially the cooperation to investigations. And I think that we can do more potentially in promoting better supervision of global market players in solving global issues. And I certainly would like to see IOSCO realise these opportunities in the next few years. Cooperation is also an important element in helping us meet the challenge I mentioned of the increasing significance of growth in emerging markets to actually providing global economic growth. 75% of our members are from growth in emerging markets. We have an important role to play in ensuring that these markets grow and that the market, the financial markets in which they have can actually do their job in funding economic growth. And that means being supported by effective regulation. We collectively have a role to play in capacity building and supporting those members in growth in emerging markets, because they are the transformative economies that will build the future of the world economy. And we are supporting that capacity building in two ways. First of all, we've worked intensively to develop a robust framework which will allow IOSCO and its members to benefit from donations from the public, philanthropic, and private sectors. The framework that we've developed and adopted at the board this week actually builds around the feasibility work we did on the IOSCO Foundation. The board yesterday approved a three-pronged strategy. The first prong is establishing a capacity building development fund within IOSCO with sources of donation from the public and philanthropic sectors. The second is to continue our work on looking to establish the IOSCO Foundation as a longer term proposition, but again sourcing donations from the public and philanthropic sectors. And the third prong is to explore the role IOSCO can play in channeling private sector funds to members. A second key initiative in terms of trying to build capacity both in emerging markets but even in developed markets is the initiative we're taking on encouraging secondments. Secondments can play a central role in building regulatory capacity and capability across our membership, particularly though for our members from growth and emerging markets. Secondments of staff give us the opportunity to share experiences and establish best practice and to build on our collective skills and knowledge, and also to strengthen our working relationships. This year, we will develop a register to record secondment activity between members, and the register will provide transparency about secondment initiatives between our members and reduce search costs for agencies wanting to participate in secondments. And as I said before, my vision is when somebody joins a securities regulator, they're not just joining individual jurisdiction, they're joining a global family and one that has significant opportunity. And I really want, when somebody joins a regulator, that they see potentially that future career in a global sense, not just in a domestic sense, and the opportunity to move around the world and to exchange that knowledge. I believe that this can be a very powerful driver behind what we want as our global objective, to be seen as a global reference point for securities regulation. And if you think about it, what our business is all about is about people. And if we can invest and make sure that those people have those opportunities, I think it makes us stronger as organisations, individually and collectively. So, in conclusion, we will continue to focus on our core strengths, standard setting, engagement, and cooperation, and I believe that they will enable IOSCO to meet the global challenges of the growth of market-based financing, and particularly given the absolute importance that market-based financing will play in funding economic growth in the future. Secondly, in making sure we deal with the issue of globalization from its many aspects. And thirdly, making sure that we can help those in the growth and emerging markets to fulfill their destiny for the global economy. And finally, to make sure that innovation, which is always a financial innovation, is a very good thing. What we have to do is to make sure that we harvest the opportunity and we mitigate the risk. And something, whether it be markets or products or technology, it's something we need to be very careful of, and it's one that we have identified. I'm looking forward to the challenges. I'm sure that we will meet those challenges. And again, congratulate Luxembourg. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Medcraft. I love your accent, by the way. It's very nice. Thank you. So the next speaker that we will have here on stage is the Vice Chairman of the IOSCO Board, and he is also the Chairman of the IOSCO Growth and Emerging Markets Committee. Ladies and gentlemen, he is from Malaysia. Here is Mr. Rajit Singh.
Thank you, Thorin. Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker, Jean Gill, Director General of CSF Luxembourg, Greg Medcraft, Chairman of ASIC and the IOSCO Board, David Wright, IOSCO Secretary General, fellow regulators, distinguished guests, members of the media, ladies and gentlemen, very good afternoon to you. It is a great pleasure to be in this lovely city of Luxembourg, and certainly it is remarkable to hear the rise of Luxembourg as a financial center. It is undoubtedly a clear testimony to the foresight of the leadership of those who had the vision to define and build a competitive niche for this country as a major hub for financial services. It is such clarity of vision and level of commitment which are attributes many of us would like to emulate as we continuously navigate our markets through the increasingly complex and competitive waters that characterize global financial and capital markets today. Herr Juncker, thank you for those insightful remarks and for your gracious support for this conference and for welcoming us to Luxembourg. We are honored by your presence here today. I'd also like to take the opportunity to congratulate the organizers of the 38th IOSCO Annual Conference, Jean Gill and his team. And I'd especially like to have a mention of gratitude to Jean-Marc Goy for his very warm hospitality and efficiency with which he has led the organization of this conference right from the moment that Luxembourg was offered the opportunity to host this conference. And he's also ensured that we are kept warm with his very nice effervescent personality and warmth despite the cold weather. He's kept us very nice and warm here. Thank you, Jean-Marc. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who were in Beijing would recall that when I was asked to give the speech at the opening of the conference there, I had 10 minutes notice to prepare for that speech. Well, I'm grateful that this time I have a little bit more time to prepare for my remarks. But when I look back at the May 2012 annual conference, and if you recall, I remember speaking about the rise of emerging markets and the promise that emerging markets held. Of course, about exactly 12 months later, sometime in May this year, emerging markets were once again the focus of global attention, albeit for slightly different reasons when the markets reacted to the comments on the reversal of quantitative easing in the US. Events of the recent past attest to the volatility that the ebb and flow of global capital flows inflicts on markets. Since 2009, more than $4 trillion US dollars worth of private capital have flowed into emerging markets. Out of this, approximately US $1.7 trillion, equivalent to 40% of those private flows, comprise short-term portfolio investments into equities and bonds, compressing bond yields and sending valuations soaring. However, because portfolio flows were largely driven by highly leveraged players with relatively short investment horizons, any indication of a potential tightening in global liquidity will naturally trigger an unwinding of carry trades and the reversal of some of these flows. This was manifested in volatility that was observed in emerging markets over the last few months. However, does this mean that the fundamentals in emerging markets have deteriorated overnight? And as discussed in our meeting that we had here in Luxembourg, it was quite the contrary. In fact, despite the ongoing pockets of turbulence, the promise of emerging markets that I have expounded on during last year's conference has not waned, but continues to hold true. Why is this so? Aside from the economic growth potential of these countries, it is also because emerging markets have largely learnt lessons from past crises. Since then, many emerging markets, many of whom are present in the room here today, have undertaken difficult but necessary structural reforms by implementing a robust regulatory framework in line with the IOSCO objectives and principles, broadening and deepening domestic asset markets to reduce reliance on external debt and adopting more flexible exchange rate regimes. Emerging markets have amassed more than US $6 trillion in reserves and entered into multilateral swap agreements to ensure themselves against external balance of payment shocks. Furthermore, 60% of capital inflows into emerging markets over the last few years constitute foreign direct investments, which are relatively stable. In short, emerging markets are in a considerably stronger position today than they were in the past. Hence, comparisons to previous financial crises are to a large extent misplaced, but also at worst, unduly alarmist. Ladies and gentlemen, nevertheless, there remain a number of lessons that we could draw from the current bouts of volatility. First, it is apparent that there are still far too many unknowns about global capital flows. How can the global regulatory community take swift, decisive action when it does not have sufficient timely and granular information about the magnitude and direction of these flows, as well as the nature and motivation of entities driving them? While we may have some information at the national level, often what we do know at the global level is fragmented and outdated. There is therefore a clear and urgent need for us to improve the transparency of global capital flows. This could be done by ensuring the availability of authoritative, timely, and comprehensive aggregate data which provides a clear global picture. Not only would this allow policymakers to calibrate their policy responses to maintain resilience, but more importantly, provide a degree of transparency to the overall market that would lend a measure of confidence to market participants. And this is the work that the IOSCO Research Department will do together with the Growth and Emerging Markets Committee that I chair. Second, emerging markets must not waver from the path of strengthening and continuing to press on with structural reforms to build a robust foundation for sound capital markets to meet increasing needs for market-based financing. They must continue to be committed to the development of institutions, frameworks such as a strong regulatory and enforcement framework, high corporate governance standards, and institutional investors in the domestic markets such as pension and provident funds. This also includes the very important work that Greg alluded to in his remarks about the development of long-term financing for driving growth in economies. SME financing, infrastructure development, the need for developed bond markets are very important components that need to be addressed by IOSCO and capital market regulators globally. This also includes the need, in my opinion, to be able to address financial inclusion, to ensure that there is greater and wider participation in capital markets to avoid the concentrations of wealth that we continue to see characterize many markets around the world. Third, the ongoing turbulence also demonstrates the need for emerging markets to speak in a more cohesive voice and rally together for stronger and more active representation in international discourse. Moreover, to achieve the envisioned reforms, it is necessary for us to adopt the ethos of inclusiveness at the international regulatory and policymaking level. And again, in my opinion, IOSCO has demonstrated leadership in this area. As suggested by the theme of this conference, global finance indeed interconnects all of us. And much, much greater international coordination is needed to ensure that due regard is paid to the costs and consequences of policies, not only to the home jurisdiction, but the global financial system. Furthermore, the international regulatory community should also be steadfast and resolute in our commitment to a single set of global standards. If left unchecked, the current shift towards inward-leading policies that prioritize domestic interests without adequate need regard for extraterritorial implications could potentially result in fragmentation and regulatory hegemony. Ladies and gentlemen, in pursuing such reforms, I believe that IOSCO is uniquely positioned to lead the agenda. Due to the inclusive and highly diverse representation of members within the organization, our collective and sustained efforts are crucial in ensuring that we could continue to strengthen the foundations of the global financial system. The new strategic direction of the Growth and Emerging Markets Committee that was endorsed by the membership here in Luxembourg reflects many of the themes that I have mentioned this afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, to resolve these issues, there is no time like the present. Where there is volatility and ambiguity, there must now be clarity and certainty. Where there is disillusion, we must now regain trust. And where there is excessive short-termism, we must now engender sustainability and inclusiveness. Only through these reforms could we rebuild the global financial system into one that optimally serves the needs of the real economy and, more importantly, the broader society. Thank you very much for your kind attention.
Thank you very much, Mr. Singh. That was very interesting. And last but not least, the Secretary General of IOSCO, Mr. David Wright.
Premier Minister, Director General, Chair, Vice Chairs of IOSCO, distinguished delegates, let me begin by repeating the great thanks to you all here in Luxembourg, to our hosts, to Jean-Gilles, Jean-Marc Roy, and your teams. This has been an outstanding event and outstandingly well organized in this superb complex. Jean and I go back a long way, and we actually ended up in a meeting room which brought back memories to me. Having been in the European Commission for 34 years, I actually began my career here, Prime Minister, in Luxembourg on the 1st of November 1977. And no applause. In the Jean Monnet building, which is still there, and I lived four very happy years here. And I can remember this plateau, the plateau of Kirchberg, which did not have the buildings it has today. In fact, it had virtually no buildings. It had the Cour de Justice and the European Investment Bank and the Jean Monnet and these buildings here, but they were in a different form. So the development here has been quite astounding, and particularly all the artistic parts that we've seen. And I was privileged enough to continue my links with Luxembourg because I was a member of President Jacques Santer's cabinet when he was the president of the European Commission. And I think I not only liked him immensely as a person, but I think he did a great deal to advance the cause of European integration in many different areas. Ladies and gentlemen, a few thoughts. IOSCO is advancing. We have many challenges before us, as Greg Medcraft and Ranjit Singh have outlined. But I think we've got a lot going for us. The first thing is that we're really a truly global organization. We have over 200 members, many here today. And I don't think you can underestimate the benefits of bringing people together in a fraternal way, building friendships that last lifetimes, and many people work throughout their lives as regulators. That's just incalculable gain. And as Greg says, the more we can mix people around, the stronger those friendships will be. We are also inclusive, and I think we should strive to be even more so in the future. And I think two people right here in the front embody that. Ranjit Singh, the new chair of the Growth and Emerging Markets Committee, who I know already is putting tremendous energy into developing the Growth and Emerging Markets axis of IOSCO. And let me also mention here Arumna Ote, the chair of the SEC Nigeria, chair of our AMEC committee. And I've been participating in a number of her meetings, and I can see the enormous effort she makes to draw together her members and seek to converge their views. It's admirable, and we need more of that in IOSCO. The third point I want to make is that I do believe we're cooperating more, and I think the MMOU, the Multilateral Memorandum of Understanding, is our witness. We now have, Prime Minister, over 2,400 exchanges of information for enforcement purposes among our members. We have 97 signatories. That's virtually the whole of the regulatory membership. And I think this is a tremendous success for IOSCO. And we're at the heart, IOSCO is at the heart of global financial regulatory developments, the G20 and the Financial Stability Board. It's absolutely essential that we play our role, that we, as Greg says, are the reference point for securities regulation. And it's very simple. If we're not, one other or some other regulatory organizations will eat our dinner and take our work. So it's up to us. We'll either cooperate, do the job, or others will in the global regulatory pond. And I'm afraid there are too many in there, 18 organizations I've counted. So we must deliver our part, our crucial part, of this global regulatory reform. Fifth point, we are on the growth side of the business. As Greg says, the world is shifting towards more market-based instruments and products. Interconnectivity is increasing. That is our role. Those are our markets. We have to regulate them. And so it's very, I think, admirable that our new chair is driving us forward, thinking about IOSCO 2020, putting out a new research outlook, looking at the risks that we see as global regulators, the major risks. That'll be published and disclosed on October the 15th in London. Beginning our work on cybercrime, beginning our work on crowdfunding, pushing securitization forward, working on cross-border issues, working on new approaches, Howard Wetson, our other vice chair, new approaches to investor protection and education, investor education. What a challenge that is that we have. And also our new capacity building initiatives that are so important. That's an inclusive organization, or one that helps those who need it. And let us hope from 2014, with our new approach, as Greg outlined, we can do the job. We will be putting enormous effort to do that. Prime Minister, distinguished guests, I want to thank my team before I close. And particularly, I want to thank Corina, Ramona, and Anna, who have been tireless and immensely impressive. Tejinder, Zong, and Tim, who've been the primary coordinators, and the rest of my team. They're outstanding people, they're overworked, and I know sooner or later you're going to reward them even better. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.